Welcome to the Shir Targum Parshas Miketz. There are a number of translations of the Targum Unculus towards the beginning of the Parsha, where the Unculus not only translates but interprets, where it's clearly an interpretation. So I just wanted to share some of those tonight and talk about them a little bit. So again, as we get to Perek Mem Aleph in the Parsha, so Yosef has interpreted the dreams to Paro. Paro is duly impressed. And he puts him in charge, you know, second in charge of all of Mitzrayim. So, Perek Mem Aleph, Pasuk Mem Gimel, Vayarkev Osel b'Merkeves HaMishneh Asher Lo. The Paro enabled, or he caused Yosef to ride in the Merkeves HaMishneh Asher Lo, which belonged to Paro. Vayikru Lefar of Avrich. And they called before Yosef the word Avrech. So two things that we need to translate over here. First of all, what's Mirkeves HaMishneh? So Mirkeves means the chariot of. Mishneh, something to do with Sheni or secondary. So that's what Unculus writes. Ve'arkev Yosef b'resikot in Yesa delay. He enabled Yosef to ride in the second Merkava, the second chariot that belonged to Paro, which is the way Rashi understands as well, Hashnia leMerkavta, Hamehaleches Eitzel Shalo, in the entourage of Paro, he had Paro's chariot that was clearly the most spectacular, the most elaborate one, but then there was a chariot that followed closely behind the chariot of Paro, and it was second in rank. So Yosef got to ride in the second in rank chariot. You know, it's not quite Air Force One, but Air Force Two. That's essentially what the Pasuk is saying. B'merkeves HaMishneh Asher Lo. How else could you interpret the Pasuk? So in theory, you could interpret the Pasuk that it's the chariot of the Mishneh, the chariot of the second in command, which again boils down to more or less the same thing. But the Targum Unculus understands that the word Mishneh, second, modifies chariot. It's the second chariot. It's Paro's chariot, but it's the second chariot. You know, it's the chariot which is second in rank to the head chariot. Okay, fine. So Yosef, in any case, was riding in this illustrious chariot. Vayikru lefonav Avrech. And people would call out in front of Yosef as he went by the word Avrech. What's Avrech? See, the Targum Unculus writes as follows. Ve'achrizu kadomoi, they would announce before him, Dein Abba Lemalka. This individual is an Av, is a father to the king. How do you get that out of Avrech? Right, I see where the Av, where the father is, where do you get the king part of that? So if you look at Rashi, again, Rashi quotes the Targum over here and elaborates. Avrech, writes Rashi, Kitargumo, as Unculus translates it, Dein Abba Lemalka, this person is a father for the king. So, and Rashi elaborates, Rach Beloshen Arami Melech. The word rach or reich in Aramaic means a king. Behashutfin, for example, we find it Bava Basra, Daftalad Omer Aleph. Lo reiko velo bar reiko. The Gemara makes reference to so-and-so is not a king and not the son of a king. The word is reiko, again, which is just the Aramaic of rach. So av reich, he's a father to the king. But what does that mean, that he's a father to the king? I mean, obviously that's not true in a biological sense, right? So the term av is explained by Rashi Masich de Shabbos Daf Nun Gimel that Abba can or Av can mean someone who is a friend, a confidant of the king. So Av Reich, right, implies that Yosef was as close to the king as one could get. He was almost like a father to the king himself. It's an interesting insight, which I think you have an interesting parenting insight. I'm not sure if we were asked to associate a word with the word father, we would automatically pick the word friend or confidant. You know, the father is supposed to be an authority figure. The confidant, you know, implies somebody who's a little bit of a peer. And obviously a father is supposed to be an authority figure. If a father's not an authority figure, so och and veh, that's not good parenting. But the father, apparently, just based on, you know, the implications of this pasuk in Rashi and Masechta Shabbos, the father is also supposed to cultivate a relationship which is something of a confidant or a friend. If the children don't feel comfortable confiding things in their parents, so that also is not the best relationship. There has to be a balance which the parents strike between, on the one hand, being authority figures, on the other hand, being someone that can have something, to some degree, of a peer relationship with the children, because otherwise, you know, they see the father or the mother as being aloof and austere and, you know, someone that they can't talk to when they have an issue. That's not the main point that's being brought out over here, but I think from the fact that Yosef is referred to as the Av of Paro, and clearly he's not the father of Paro, he's not even the authority over Paro. That would be a total distortion of the relationship that Yosef has with Paro. Certainly that's not what Paro intended, you know, to make Yosef into. Yosef was his confidant, but the notion that the term Av can describe a confidant, I think, is an important insight, you know, when it comes to parenting.
You can still have the father-son relationship. Yosef would be his son.
Right, but that's not what they're saying. In other words, they called before Yosef Avrech, father of the king. If they would have called him son of the king, right, I would have got that. That would have made perfect sense. Yeah. The fact that they referred to him as father of the king, right, that requires explanation. And again, you know, so that's where this explanation comes out. Father doesn't necessarily mean biological father. It doesn't even mean an authority figure. It can just simply mean someone who is close to, or someone who, again, is a confidant, a chaver.
And because of what he was able to give to Paro with all the information, he became like a chief advisor.
Right, okay, but that's still, you know, he wasn't an authority figure over Paro. That's the point. In other words, you know, usually when we associate with the word father, you know, a parent, you usually associate as being an authority figure, which, again, is true. But there's this other dimension as well, that the parent is also supposed to have this, to some extent, a peer kind of relationship, you know, with the children. If it's all about authority, you know, I said it and that's why, and, you know, don't ask too many questions, that at a certain, you know, it works for a little bit, but at a certain point that also is not going to be an effective relationship. Okay, so that's this Avrech. V'noso noso al kol eretz Mitzrayim. And Paro appointed him over all of the land of Egypt. We continue pasuk mem dalet. Vayomer Paro el Yosef, ani Paro. Paro said to Yosef, I am Paro. Ubil adecha lo yorim ish es yado v'yisraglo b'chol eretz Mitzrayim. Without you, no man will be able to lift up his hand or his leg in all of Egypt. Now that's clearly a metaphor for something, right? In other words, it would be rather bizarre if people had to file an application in ancient Mitzrayim to be able to lift up their hands or their feet and would have to go through Yosef in order to do that, you know. Why are you just standing here? Well, I'm waiting for my, you know, my application to be approved. There's a backup. So what does that mean? So here the Targum Onkelos tells us as follows. Va'amar Paro liYosef, ano Paro. Paro said to Yosef, I am Paro. But by the way, what does that mean, I am Paro? I mean, if Yosef hasn't figured that out by now, then he hasn't really been paying much attention to the story. So Rashi writes over here, I have the power to make whatever decree I want, and by virtue of that power, you know, by the power invested in me as Paro, I'm hereby making the following decree. What is this decree? Ubar mimemrach, unless you give the word, lo yirim givar yas yedei lemechad zain, v'yas rigle lemirka val susya, b'chol aradu Mitzrayim. You and only you, Yosef, can give people the permission to carry weapons or to ride on horses. In other words, they can only lift up their hand, which is a metaphor for carrying a weapon, and they can only lift up their legs, which is a metaphor for getting onto a horse. They'll only be allowed to carry a weapon or mount a horse if you give them the permission to do so. Right? Right. So what's the idea behind that? So clearly what Paro is giving to Yosef is control over anything that might have any semblance of military power whatsoever. Right? In other words, apparently they did not have the Second Amendment in Mitzrayim. You know, the Second Amendment was subject to the whims of Yosef HaTzadik. That's what you see from here. And even the ability to ride a horse, which was considered to be, to some extent, an act of war, was similar to carrying a weapon. A horse in those times in Mitzrayim was associated with warfare. That's, you know, when Paro's chariots and the horses chased after Klal Yisrael into the Yam Suf, that's what they mostly did with horses. They were mostly used for war. So, Yosef, you will control anything that seems that could allow people to engage in rebellion or anything that seems to be an act of war, which, if you think about it, is a tremendous position of responsibility that's given to Yosef. I mean, up to now, he's been charged with the administrative task of collecting all of the grain, as we saw yesterday, making sure that it didn't rot, and then distributing it once the years of famine come. But this is a totally different set of responsibilities. In other words, not only is he administering the distribution of the grain, but he's also controlling anything that could be semi-military in Mitzrayim, right? So Paro mamish handed over to Yosef a tremendous slice of the government. I mean, that's really what you see from over here. In the next pasuk, we also find something that's discussed. Yeah. It's an excellent point, right? So Reb David makes an excellent point over here. Yosef is charged with giving out all of this food, right? It will probably happen that some people will be dissatisfied with the way he's giving out the food. You know, the lines are going to get long, people are going to get grumpy. If people have the ability to carry weapons on their own, it could get very ugly. So to sort of short-circuit that, Paro gives Yosef the ability to control who's going to carry a weapon, who's going to have a horse. You know, in this way, he can maintain order when the time comes to distribute the grain in a way that can quell any opposition. It's an excellent, excellent point. So, in Pasuk Mem Hei, we find the following. Vayikra Paro Shem Yosef, Sofnas Pa'aneach. Paro called the name of Yosef, Sofnas Pa'aneach. Now, on the surface, Sofnas Paneach is just a name. So he called his name Sofnas Paneach, and I don't know what that means, you know, it's just a name. That's what the Ibn Ezra writes over here. Sofnas Paneach, imzo hamilo mitzris, if this is an Egyptian name, Sofnas Paneach, lo yodanu peirusha. So we don't know what Sofnas Paneach means. I don't know, it's something in Egyptian. Who knows Egyptian? I don't know Egyptian. Right? So he calls his name Sofnas Paneach, whatever it happens to be. But it's clear that the Targum Unculus does not learn that way, because if it was just a proper name, so then the Targum Unculus would have not translated it, but just left it intact. In other words, the Targum Unculus doesn't translate names. Names are what they are. Here, if we look in Unculus, Ukra Paro Shum Yosef, Paro called the name of Yosef, Gavra de Tmirun Galyun Le, a man for whom hidden things are revealed. So in other words, Sofnas Paneach has a certain meaning. It means a person to whom hidden things are revealed. It's not a proper name. So following up on that, the Ibn Ezra actually writes the following. The Imhi Miturgemes, if Sofnas Paneach is not an actual proper name, but it's simply a translation of the name that was given to Yosef, Lo Yodanu Shem Yosef. Then ironically, says the Ibn Ezra, we don't know the actual name that was given to Yosef. In other words, what he signed his name in Egyptian, he signed something in Egyptian that means the equivalent of Tzafnas Paneach, but his actual name was not Tzafnas Paneach. Tzafnas Paneach is the Hebrew translation of whatever name was given to Yosef, which in Egyptian means the person who understands those things that are hidden. Right? So that's Ibn Ezra suggests that the real name of Yosef may not have been something that was actually known. The Ramban suggests something else over here. He writes as follows. It's possible that Tzafnas Paneach means something, as Targum Onkelos says, meaning it means the man to whom hidden things are revealed. But Yitochen Shekara Lo Shem Nichbar B'Lashon Arzo Kisha'al Lo. It's possible that both things are really correct, says the Ramban. That Yosef's actual name as given to him by Paro was literally Tzafnas Paneach, but that also Tzafnas Paneach actually means something, and it's not just a random, you know, series of words in Egyptian. In other words, that it means the one to whom hidden things are revealed. Suggests the Ramban, perhaps Paro gave Yosef a Hebrew name. Why would Paro give Yosef a Hebrew name? So the Ramban suggests this was part of the incredible kavod that Paro had for Yosef. I want to give you a name that reflects your abilities, that you can understand those things that are hidden, and to acknowledge your place of origin, I'm not going to give you that name in Egyptian. I'm going to give you that name in Lashon HaKodesh. You know, that's how it's a tremendous, I mean, we call it today cultural sensitivity, right? It was a tremendous act of cultural sensitivity on the part of Paro. Not only am I going to honor you, but I'm going to use your home language to give you a name which holds you in high esteem. So that in itself is a tremendous chiddush of the Ramban. But then the Ramban suggests something else. Oh, Shahaya Hamelach Yodea Sfas Eretz Kanan Hakrova Elov. Or maybe, says the Ramban, maybe Paro knew Loshen Kodesh. I mean, after all, it's not that far from Mitzrayim to Eretz Yisrael. It's a neighboring country. You know, he spoke the language of the people in the neighboring country. So again, maybe Paro either asked Yosef, what would be a name in your language that would connote someone who understands hidden things? Or Paro himself spoke enough Lashon Kodesh to be able to give such a name to Yosef. That's what seems to emerge as well from the Rashbam. The Rashbam writes, Tzafnas Paneach Kitargumo. It fits the Targum interpretation. V'loshon Mitzrayim hu. Fascinatingly, the Rashbam puts together two things. He said Tzafnas Paneach means the one who understands hidden things, like the Targum says. But instead of saying that it's a language, it's an expression in Hebrew, the Rashbam says, no, this is actually an expression in Mitzris, in Egyptian, that captures this meaning, you know, Gavra de Metamron Galin Yinleh, you know, the person to whom hidden things are revealed. It's interesting, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky Zatzal and his Emes LeYaakov points out that if you look at many words that we find that relate to the Egyptians and the Egyptian experience, we find that there's a disproportionate number of tzaddis and a disproportionate number of feis. You know, they seem to, Rabbi Yaakov suggests that maybe in the Egyptian language, the tzaddi and the feis sound were very common. We know every language has its own distinct sounds. So he quotes Tzafnas Paneach as an example, again working with the assumption that this is actually two words in Egyptian. And he also says, we know, later on in Parshas Vo'era, a creature which appears in Mitzrayim during the Makos is the Tzvardeya. Right? We're not sure what the Tzvardeya is. It's frogs, it's crocodiles, it's something. But in other words, the term Tzvardeya, Rabbi Yaakov suggests, is perhaps actually an Egyptian word. And there again you see the Tzadi and the Fei, just like we have over here by Tzafnas Paneach. Okay, Rabbi Chatan ben Akasha Omer, Ratzah HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lezakos.